Two new studies offer clues about clinical depression, an illness that afflicts 18 million people in this country. Researchers say they've found an important genetic clue that may explain why more women than men suffer from depression. They've also found that a specific brain abnormality may help explain why depression tends to strike repeatedly in many people. Michelle Trudeau reports.
It's been a puzzle to researchers that women are twice as likely as men to be afflicted by severe clinical depression. Psychiatrist George Zubenko is a gene detective trying to solve that mystery. For the past 15 years, he's been hunting for the genetic perpetrator of depression in families in his laboratory at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center.
Well, we take blood samples and we draw them into tubes that have anticoagulant in them so that they won't clot. And from one part of the sample, we make DNA straight away.
DNA, the genetic instruction manual in every cell, contained in each blood sample of the 1,300 individuals from families with depression. Zubenko is looking for genes that distinguish family members with depression from those who do not have the disease, then comparing the genetic instruction of women with depression to men with depression.
We've now narrowed our search for a susceptibility for clinical depression to a small region of chromosome 2 that was associated with depression in women.
So chromosome 2, one of the 23 pairs of chromosomes that hold the DNA. Now zero in on a tiny region of genetic material on that chromosome, so tiny that it holds only about 0.01% of the entire human genetic code. It is the needle in the haystack.
Searching for a needle in a haystack would be much easier.
And within this tiny region of chromosome 2, Zubenko believes the culprit gene is hiding.
The susceptibility gene in this region selectively affects the risk of women, but not men, to developing severe depression.
Perhaps, says Zubenko, by interacting with female hormones such as estrogen, putting women at higher risk for depression. Currently, Zubenko's team is looking at a prime suspect gene called CREB1. If CREB1 turns out to be the culprit gene, then Zubenko will look for mistakes in the gene that could account for the biological chaos of depression. Zubenko's current research is published in this month's issue of the American Journal of Medical Genetics. Publishing also this month in the American Journal of Psychiatry, neurologist Helen Mayberg at the Rotman Research Institute in Toronto has found a clue to explain why many people are vulnerable to recurrent depressive episodes. It's been known that at least half of those who've had one episode of clinical depression will become sick again with one or more subsequent episodes.
What we don't know is why do people have a tendency to have recurrent episodes? And more importantly, what causes someone to essentially relapse?
To get at this, Mayberg looked at the brain circuitry of women who'd fully recovered from a depressive episode.
So they were previously depressed, but now totally well. And they had been well for, on average, about a year and a half.
These women came into Mayberg's brain imaging lab and for the study were asked to recall an intensely sad personal experience, such as the death of a spouse or the loss of a loved one. Mayberg told them to concentrate on their feelings as they recalled the loss because she wanted to see what happens in the brain when a person feels profoundly sad.
Within several minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, people actually become quite tearful. We then had them close their eyes, lie there, and basically feel sad.
At this moment, the brain imaging camera took pictures, capturing the blood flow activity in different parts of the brain.
So at the point the scan is being obtained, the person is basically tearful and really not thinking about anything. And so you're really mapping, if you will, the state of sadness.
For comparison, Mayberg also took brain scans of healthy women who'd never been clinically depressed, as they too recalled a profoundly sad event in their lives. The pictures of the healthy women looked strikingly different from the women who'd had a previous episode of depression in a specific area of the brain called the anterior cingulate.
And what's so fascinating about the finding is this area didn't turn on. It turned off in the depressed women when they experienced the sadness.
This brain area, the anterior cingulate, also shuts down in severely depressed patients who are right in the midst of a depressive episode.
So it's almost as though we've triggered, in a very controlled way, a kind of mini depression. We've unmasked the very brain areas that are not functioning appropriately when you are attempting to adapt to an acute change in your mood.
This part of the brain, the anterior cingulate, is responsible for linking our feelings with our thinking, connecting the emotional with the rational. Critically important, Mayberg points out, for successfully managing life's intense feelings and emotions. Next, Mayberg must determine if the dysfunctional anterior cingulate is the underlying cause of recurring depression or a type of brain scar resulting from having been depressed before. Michelle Trudeau, NPR News.